While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So as we begin, I want to reach back to our second reading to address a possible misunderstanding. The Christian scriptures have existed for a couple millennia now, and they were written so long ago and so far away that sometimes we misread them. In particular, there has developed a habit among Western Christians of reading our scriptures as being sometimes anti-Jewish. And so with our second reading today, from Paul, you and I might read that and hear an anti-Jewish polemic. But of course, the problem with this interpretation is that Paul is a Jewish person, and he is having an argument within his own community. And so the argument of our second reading is not about Jews per se. Instead, Paul is arguing for the freedom that is in store for every believer who will receive Christ and be ruled by him. Paul is talking about a kind of transfiguration that happens and which can only happen to us if we will refrain from hardening our hearts and from covering our minds with a veil. Paul knew what it was to be transformed, to be radically changed in his belief and in his opinions based on an encounter with Jesus. And Paul is wishing that same transformation or transfiguration for his hearers as well. All of our scriptures today tell the story of transfiguration. Moses was changed by his encounter with God on the mountaintop. And the people were so terrified when they saw how he was changed that Moses hid his face while it was still glowing from his encounter with God. Have you ever seen someone whose face is just glowing? Elijah also had been to the mountaintop, where he had experienced the presence of God, but his experience of God was sheer silence. And now Jesus is on the mountaintop. Jesus is transfigured and experiencing the presence of these two other icons of transformation. Moses was the central character of the Old Testament, the giver of Torah. And God had promised that another like Moses would come. Elijah was the quintessential prophet. And God had also promised that another like him would arise. And now Jesus stands in a direct line with these two. With Torah, with prophecy, all brought to their destination in the reconciliation of humankind with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fortunately for us today, at this encounter, Jesus was not alone. There were three disciples on the mountaintop with him. And, you know, they were sleepy. Right? They were rubbing their eyes. They thought, maybe I'm dreaming. They couldn't believe what they saw. But today we have their testimony handed down to us for nearly 2,000 years. So in hindsight, the disciples did believe. They believed what they had seen and understood what a gift it was. And they have shared that story with us who would follow in their footsteps. Today is the last Sunday after the Epiphany before Lent. The last Sunday when we will shout Hallelujah. Lent begins on Wednesday, and indeed Ash Wednesday is one of only 2 days on the Episcopal calendar specifically set aside as days of fasting. Lent is a time when we pray a little more. We confess a little more thoughtfully, and we open ourselves a little more widely to God's activity in our lives. And when we do that, we open ourselves to perceive and to notice God's transformative activity in our lives, the ways that God changes us. And those good experiences we have with God, those consolations we find in Christ, they are like deposits made in a bank account of faith, storing up good things to save them against bad things, storing up memories that can carry us through a rainy day. Because hard times also come in life. And we can all speak to that from personal experience. In our gospel reading, Jesus is about to undergo the passion, one of the hardest things imaginable. Very soon, Jesus will be carried off by a mob late at night. He'll be subjected to a midnight trial under cover of darkness, and then he'll be presented to the authorities with a demand for crucifixion. Hard times were coming for Jesus and for his terrified disciples. But our gospel writer tells us that as Moses and Elijah met with Jesus, they were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They were encouraging Jesus, encouraging the disciples too, giving them all clear, bright memories that they could hang on to in hard times. Now, it didn't take long after this event, after the Transfiguration, before Jesus was betrayed and tried and condemned and crucified. And then all that faith that had been salted away in that bank account was tested. The disciples had to bring out all their memories, all their hopes and their dreams and their expectations, and to evaluate all these things carefully. What was going on? What was real? What could they count on? And where was God in all of this, even as God in the flesh hung on the cross? And so those memories, those good experiences, those prior encounters with the faithfulness of God gave the disciples the endurance that they needed, maybe just barely enough, but enough to get through the bitterness of Jesus' death and Jesus' rest in the tomb. And so the disciples emerged on the other side of the crucifixion doubtful, discouraged, depressed, but with hearts that were still open just enough that when it was time, they were ready to receive the new thing that was the resurrection. For Peter, James, and John, as well as for Jesus and Elijah and Moses, they had been prepared for Jesus' departure, which he then accomplished at Jerusalem. As we begin our Lenten journey together this year, I wonder, what are the hard things that you are experiencing right now? What is the passion that you are facing down and wishing you didn't have to deal with? How has God prepared you, fortified you for this challenge that you now face? The church, the Christian tradition, offers us lots of opportunities and possibilities in this department. You might say that's the whole point of church, to teach us how to pray. Whether in our contemplative practices retreat that we had right here in this room yesterday, or in the daily office found at the beginning of the Book of Common Prayer, and also available to you 6 days a week on the St. Thomas website. There are all kinds of ways that Jesus offers you an invitation to draw close to Him, to find comfort in God. So I want to challenge you this Lent. Challenge you to consider adding a new practice to your daily life. Challenge you to find an additional 20 minutes a day for prayer. You could use centering prayer, which doesn't need any books at all. You could use the daily office. You could use forward day by day. You could use our podcast on the St. Thomas website. You could use other podcasts, like Praise You Go is one of my favorites right now. You can pray early in the morning by getting up a few minutes earlier. You can pray over lunch. You can pray in the evening before turning on the television. The challenge to us is to follow the disciples by learning to stay awake, to open ourselves to God doing something new in our lives in this season. And if you're like me, you're not going to recognize what God is doing in your life at the time that it's happening. You almost surely will not recognize it in the middle of something hard or terrible happening in your life. But when the practices that you have engaged give you a firm helping hand through those hard times, it is afterward, in hindsight, that you might notice that God has done some new, amazing thing in you. You may even find, and I believe that someday you will find, that you, in fact, have been transfigured. Amen.